Hello, good day, everyone. Welcome, after a nice weekend, to another episode of Magic the First Pioneers podcast. This podcast is all about the Pioneer format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I'm joined here by my co-host and our favorite recurring guest.
Hey guys, I'm back. I hope everybody had a good set review as well as a good pre-release, because that was last weekend, right? But anyways, this is Ryan coming at you from the Tokyo area of Japan. And our guest today is...
Ikaros again. I am back. Took a couple of weeks off of Magic, and I'm feeling good, I'm feeling back, and I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, liking the new set?
Yes, it is sweet.
All right, very exciting. So what we wanted to do, you know, new set is out. I think we've all been doing some brewing, we've been doing some early testing, and we just want to, you know, throw you guys some ideas, talk about what we've been looking at as some early brews from the new set. You know, basically we all came through and we're like, okay, these are, you know, maybe not our... These aren't going to be maybe the most competitive brews. Like, these are definitely brews rather than, like, this is the new meta idea. But this is, you know, new cards being shown, trying to do some new things, and let's just see how powerful it is. So each of us came up with three lists that we want to talk through, and we're basically going to dive into that. Anything else you really wanted to cover today, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine just doing the, the brews today.
Yeah, perfect. And, you know, so basically what we do is similar to other times when we're doing brewing episodes, we'll kind of go through lists one by one. We'll talk about what we might want to see differently in that list or what might change. You know, just kind of a breakdown of what we think about each other's decks. So we get, you know, some opinions on them.
Yeah.
Hopefully you guys have the same opinions, and we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, we have 9 decks total. Hopefully we'll take about 5 minutes each, and we'll finish in about 45 minutes.
Hey, that math adds up. I was here for last week for the set review, so why don't I pass it off to one of you two to start it off?
I'll go first because my stuff's the jankiest. It's going to be the worst. And I'm, since I couldn't do the set review, I'm making up for lost jank.
Hey, who knows? Who knows?
So I want to start off with my legally obligated deck, Aristocrats. Like I said, I always have to talk about it whenever I... do a set review episode, you know, I have to talk about it, so. Okay, so.
Well, at least there's no waste not in this one.
Yeah, so you guys got it open?
Yeah, I got this open.
So I had actually started this off, I wanted to do this like an entirely, non-creature way. I had the Meat Hook Massacre from the set, which is that when it comes into play, each creature gets -X/-X, and then it basically has built-in Aristocrat's ability on it. You know, whenever a creature dies, you gain a life. Whenever your creature dies, you gain a life. Whenever a creature you control dies, your opponent loses a life, and whenever whenever your opponent's creature dies, you gain a life. So that really doesn't matter. We just want to, like, kill them, basically. We want to hit them with as much damage. We have that. We have Zulaport Cutthroat. We have Cruel Celebrant. Those are like our main ways to use,
So that's 10 Aristocrat effects.
Yeah, I think there's actually more. I wanted to put Bastion of Remembrance in here as well. I actually wanted to just do like... You know, I don't know if I wanted to do 2 or 4, but I have them in the sideboard right now because I couldn't decide. And that's because I decided I had everything at 2 mana, I might as well just play a Lurrus deck.
Yes.
Yeah.
It made more sense to me. And of course, as an activator for, you know, all this sacrificing, I have Witch's Oven. And also have the Cauldron Familiar. So that's going to give you your easy activations. You know, I have, like, Hangerback Walker in here as well, just because I couldn't think of another 2-drop that I wanted to play. And you can play it from the graveyard and just keep on putting stuff into play. It's a lot slower deck. I didn't want to do the combo, because everyone's done the combo with, Rally the Ranks. And then you have to play the Stitcher Supplier and stuff like that. And I'm not good with those types of decks. I'd rather just play, let's block, let's make a bunch of stuff, and then I can kill them with cards like... Meat Hook Massacre, which hits all creatures. All the guys are going to be 1/1s, basically. And then I also ended up putting in Vanquish the Horde, since I'm going to be making a bunch of tokens and creatures. This is one of the new, it's the new 8 mana Wrath of God effect that costs 1 less for each creature on the battlefield. So just a way to kind of deal with all of the aggro decks that I'm pretty sure where I'm going to see play against. I have Thoughtseize in there, of course, main, just to, you know, stop any problematic cards. I decided to test out Sunset Revelry. You know, if I'm losing against an aggro deck, I gain 4 life. You know, this is the new card from Midnight Hunts. If somehow they have more creatures than me, I put a 1/1 white token into play. Or, sorry, 2 white 1/1 tokens.
2 tokens, yeah.
And then if they have more, if I'm playing against control, I get to draw cards. So I got that in there. I'm trying to think of what else. I have Hidden Stockpile just because I figured, you know, I'm just going to be doing Witch's Oven triggers the whole time, and it's just going to keep on giving me more and more and more and more tokens at the end of turn, depending on how many of those I have in play. And I didn't have time to do a sideboard for this one, but, you know, this is just very, very rough. And I wonder how you guys would build some kind of Aristocrats deck. I know you would say probably just play Jund Citadel, but...
Yeah, I don't think you have to go Jund Citadel. You know, I don't mind the idea of looking at either Rally of the Ancestors or Return to the Ranks, because I do think Return to the Ranks is just a strong card.
Mm-hmm.
I actually wouldn't have mind looking at a few more new cards. You know, the Vanquish the Horde, that one seems a little strange as a big sweeper. You know, maybe it's an option, though. I know we were talking about that on the cast, is, you know, maybe you want to play this and you don't care if your creatures die, but if they die, that's worth it. Mm-hmm. Sunset Revel is interesting. I don't know if that made it main. But the ones I was looking at, you know, there's Flesh Taker, the new...
Yeah.
You know, it's a 2 mana that can sacrifice creatures.
Oh.
There's also, you know, Jadar Ghoulcaller.
But the
Jadar Ghoulcaller is pretty cool because, you know, every turn you're going to have a 2/2 zombie that dies.
Flesh Taker is scry and you gain life. Your opponent doesn't lose life. And then it has a sacrifice effect if you pay one. I didn't like that.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, you could drain. Also do... if you wanted to do it for free, there was Cartel Aristocrat, yeah. I want to say, is 2 mana.
I know. I don't know if I want to be explosive. So that's the whole thing. I was trying to slow it down. Maybe I should have just gone like 4 Bastion of Remembrance in this deck and just made it into like some kind of tokens deck.
Yeah, well, then you lose Lurrus, so it's tough.
Yeah, I like the idea of Jadar. Did you want
to... Yeah, what is Jadar? Can you explain it?
So Jadar is it's a 1/1 for 1 and a black, and at the end of every turn, if you don't have any creatures with decayed, you make a 2/2 decayed zombie.
Okay. I could do that, I guess.
Yeah, so essentially every turn you get to attack with it, and then it dies, you know, it sacrifices even, and then, you know, that'll trigger every turn.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that as well. A couple options here. Again, this is a brew. This is, in the purest sense, a brew.
I'll just say, I love Cauldron Familiar with Witch's Oven and Hidden Stockpile. This looks like this is an engine. I already think Familiar and Oven are underplayed, and Stockpiles, I like it. This looks good.
Right?
Yeah, it does.
So would you go to the Lurrus route as well?
I mean, I'm always... I always want to play the Lurrus. I love the cat, and like, it's a really good card. I think if you did want to, like, there's advantage in having your Aristocrats effects be not creatures, right? Like, Bastion and Midhook are much harder to kill.
Exactly. That's the whole reason.
Yeah. And I actually think, again, you could play Anointed Procession in this if you wanted, possibly.
Too slow. I've tried that type of deck before.
Okay. And
I've got him thinking about black-white tokens because I just posted a brew as well.
Yeah. And also, I think what you are mostly missing in the land section is like the white land that makes tokens.
Yeah, I wasn't sure this is the castle. Like a mostly black deck, so actually, maybe I could do it, actually.
You have like 16 white sources. You probably could.
Yeah.
Could run a couple.
I don't have any Castle Lock Lane either, so maybe I need that.
Ooh. Yeah, castles are just really good. And probably some menlands too, if you're into that. But yeah, I like this.
Okay, so just a quick recap at the end here. So you were trying out Sunset Revelry from the new set, Vanquish the Horde, the Sweeper, and that looks like it. Meat Hook Massacre is an important one for the deck. Cool.
Yeah, that kind of set the end, so we... that set the, what do you call, the gears in motion in my head. Mihawk Massacre. I'm like, oh, I want to build around this. So,
all right. Ekros, why don't you go ahead and jump into your first one?
Okay, yeah. I actually wanted to talk about the Golgari / Jund list.
Ooh.
So this is not... I didn't come up with this on my own. I was watching Zan Syed play, and he was playing something close to this in Historic. Biggest difference was Historic has Dragon's Way Channeler and Ravenous Squirrel. So 2-1 drops that go bigger, which are like, that's really important for the deck, right? So I was like, well, we can't build this deck. And then we got Wheelowgeist, which, again, works really well with Cat Oven, right?
What's Wheelowgeist? I can't read it. I don't know what it is.
So this is one of the new cards. This is 1 green for a 1/1 spirit. Is it something else? Treefolk Spirit, maybe? Hang on, I've got it open here. It is a... Yeah, Treefolk Spirit. It's a 1/1 with trample, and every time one or more cards leaves your graveyard, you put a +1/+1 counter on it, and when it dies, you gain life equal to its power. Okay. So, you know, yeah, great card. I'm happy to talk about this deck, so I'm excited for you to go through
it. Yeah, so like, if I get it right, Cauldron Familiar plus Oven triggers this every time you get the Familiar out of the yard. Kroxa Escape actually triggers it twice, I think. Once for the escape cost, and I don't know if this counts as a... Well, I don't know. K-Command returning stuff from your yard also counts this. Lurus Recursion also gets counted, so that's really sweet. Also gets pumped. And I was really looking for a place to play Oven Familiar. Possibly with Kroxa.
And Trail of Crumbs.
And Trail of Crumbs, yeah. I mean, that card's pretty good, as we mostly know. But I think the other innovation, which is something I didn't expect and also might be good for your deck, Ryan, is Warlock Lass.
What is that? I can't remember.
So level, it's a one. It's a class for 1 black. First level says at the end of your turn, if a creature died this turn, each opponent loses 1 life. And then at level 2, like when you turn it to level 2, you look at the top 3 cards of your deck, put 1 in your hand, and the rest in the yard. And then if you pay 7 mana for level 3, at the end of each of your turns, each opponent like loses life equal to the amount of life they already lost this turn.
Okay.
So basically doubles, And that's with Cat Oven. It looks really good. And also it's sort of an aristocrat effect, I guess. I mean, it doesn't stack over multiple creatures, but you do get to drain, like ping them for 1 each turn. So this got me pretty excited. Also, Demetuk Massacre can definitely get into this deck.
It could fit in there, you said?
Yeah, I think it could. I mean...
Yeah, I think I'm also thinking that I had a similar list, and I was like, man, I'm going to have to try Demetuk Massacre in here, too.
You only need, like, 2 of them, to be honest. You know, it's legendary, so you don't want to play 4. So yeah, 2 of them would be fine.
Yeah, although having...
So you've got Gilded Goose, you've got Geist, you've got Cauldron Familiar.
Yeah, and you have, like, the whole full package. And I actually think you could possibly, like, move to white over the Kroxa and the Quake Command and just play some Hidden Stockpiles. Because I'm excited about this. I don't know. Stockpiles looks like a really cool card. So, yeah, and Infernal Grasps in the sideboard, because that is one heck of a removal spell.
I mean, the thing I like about Hidden Stockpile is just that, you know, it gets around the graveyard hate. You know, you just keep on sacrificing your tokens and making new tokens.
Yeah, for sure. It's not exactly, like, the most innovative list with new cards, but I do think that Wheelowgeist is really important for this deck, and really, I'm excited about it.
I like the mix of cards, to be honest. Even though, you know, it's not... playing a whole bunch of new ones. I like, you know, that it's playing like Warlock class, and you got, like you said, Mortality Spear in there, but who knows? You said you might not keep that one, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not even sure this deck is going to be good, like I said, but I'm excited to try it.
That's why it's a brew.
Yeah, I mean, look at this. We have like 31 drops. This is so cool.
So, you know, I had brewed a very similar element. Very similar list to this. I'd also been on a stream with, I think it was Urk's MTG, was brewing up some green-black, I was just looking at green black, so I didn't try this red splash. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask about a bunch of different cards because I think there's a lot of different ways you can go here. Mm-hmm. The big one for me, have you tried Deathrite Shaman in this? Because that's something Historic does not have.
That is true. No, I haven't. I thought about Shaman. I think it might actually be good because we are probably missing some one drops, as weird as it may sound. Mm-hmm. And Deathrite is, like, this deck is mana hungry, right?
Yeah.
So I think it could fit in. I haven't even played with this deck.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. Yeah, but, so like Deathrite Shaman is what I was looking at. You know, at two drops, I think there's also some things. You know, Grim Flayer is a really strong card. Satyr Wayfinder is just fuel for all your stuff, as well as Scavenging Ooze can, you know, one green to grow Willowgeist is pretty cool.
Oh, that's true, yeah. I like Skooze in the sideboard, I think.
Yes, in the sideboard, probably.
Yeah, and the other card, Satyr Wayfinder is definitely a card I could see playing, especially if we don't want to max on Stitcher Supplier, like helping your mana a bit. But
I don't love Stitcher Supplier.
I'm a famous hater of Green Flare. I don't think that card is anything other than standard playable at the time. But again, prove me wrong. Fair. Prove me wrong. I'm happy to be wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I see enchantments, I see artifacts, I see instants, sorceries, creatures, lands. You know, you got a decent mix here. Yeah, but
that's true. I mean, the list in
a lot of enchantments.
The historic list plays DRC. It has literal delirium. So yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. The only other one I think of is, you know, Scrap Heap Scrounger. Probably if you weren't in red for Kroxa, that also triggers it twice because, you know, you remove a creature and then bring him back.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Just some options. So what is Valky doing in this deck? That one's kind of unusual.
I mean, you're playing Jund, right? But like this deck, the problem with Lures decks is you tend to be like small ballish, and then people, you know, would play like a Niv-Mizzet and suddenly they have a 6/6 and you're just dying to it. So having Valky is this way of having early disruption plus a late Planeswalker, which you can play with Lures. So it's just something I put in the deck. I'm not convinced it's actually good. Just an idea.
No, it looks good. Mm-hmm. I think there's definitely something. I think Willowgeist is a card worth brewing around. Yeah. There was one more, you know, I ended up cutting it from my list, but Deathbonnet Sprout is another card that could fit in these kind of lists.
What card?
Is that one you looked at all? That one's it's a 1-mana, 1/1 fungus. At the beginning of your upkeep, you mill a card. And then if there's 3 more creatures in your graveyard, you transform it. It becomes a 3/3. And at the beginning of your upkeep, you exile a card from any graveyard. And if that was a creature card, you get a +1/+1 counter.
Oh, it's from any graveyard. Nice.
It is from any graveyard. Yeah, I feel like a bunch of people, you know, I made that mistake when I was on stream with some people. They were like, oh yeah, well, it's any graveyard. That makes it a lot better. But
definitely. I think it needs a bit more creatures in the deck. This deck is a bit light on them. But if you go the Scrappy Scrounger route, then you can, a bit more aggressive. And then it might be good because it's a good one drop. I mean, it's kind of like I thought about Gnarlwood Dryad, which is also
that's similar.
Yeah, right. It's like all of these delirium gets pumped things.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided that I wanted to go a bit more mid rangey on this, other than playing, you know, an aggressive one drop. It's definitely a route you can take with this deck.
Okay. Cool, right. Cool stuff.
What about your deck, Kevin?
Let me see what I want to start out with here. So I went a little bit fair. I'm going to start with this this Jund list I've got here. And this feels like one of the fairest lists that I've ever been happy with in Pioneer. You know, usually I play a list in Pioneer and I'm like, you know, that feels fair. And I call that as an insult. This list feels fair, but in a way that actually seems playable in Pioneer. So I'm really excited about this. This is Jund Warriors. And the main cards that drew me to wanting to try this is the new card, Slaughter Specialist, which is a 1-black 3/3 vampire warrior. When it enters, the opponent gets a 1/1 human, and whenever a creature and opponent dies, you put a +1/+1 counter on it. So I was like, you know, the opponent's got a 1/1, how do we kill that and not lose value? Goblin Chain Whirler, 3 mana, deals 1 damage to each creature and planeswalker and opponent. That's a perfect curve right there. You know, you can go turn 1 Pelt Collector, turn 2 Slaughter Specialist, turn 3 Chain Whirler, and you've got like 10 power on the board. And then there's just a bunch of cards in, you know, in the Jund colors that are good creatures. You know, Herald King of Skemphar never really saw much play,
that.
But it's a powerful card and it gets you value. The fact that it's got, you know, we've got a lot of Menace, we've got a lot of Trample. We've got First Strike. So there's a lot of ways to, you know, go through those small tokens. Kargan Intimidator is a great card. You know, Cowards Can't Block Warriors. That's always fun. All around, you know, deck feels very fair, but it's an extremely aggressive curve with enough ways to put mana into things that I've been pretty happy with it. Yeah, I mean, like I said, pretty straightforward as far as the main deck. I've got a couple things in the sideboard. Looks like, yeah, the only sideboard new card, I was trying out the Outland Liberator. That's that new werewolf that can sacrifice to destroy an artifact or enchantment. I think that just fits in if you were playing other similar things to do that role.
I really like the Herald King of Skimfar in here. It's cool to see play. I like the Menace. I like the ability to grab a card from your top five. So, yeah.
Yeah, top five for pretty much any creature in the deck is great. You know, the only exception is Bonecrusher Giant, mm-hmm. who's there. You know, he's not a warrior, but he's interaction.
Yeah.
So yeah. You can't miss him.
Mm-hmm. I actually think this is also just a ridiculously good company deck. Like, I look at it and every hit is terrifying.
Yeah. So if I didn't say that, this is a collected company deck, so you can get a lot of power off of a collected company.
And also I want to say, depending on the meta, I really like Lifebane Zombie in the sideboard. Because I looked in,
he's a warrior.
Yeah, I looked in. I was gonna say I looked into zombies, and I mean, this is actually, it seems like it's getting better and better with everyone playing, you know, decks like not Ranger class, but Bard class, or I'm trying to think what other big green decks like
Niv-Mizzet.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, I just thought it felt exceptional against Niv-Mizzet, yeah. Being able to hit Niv, Clothis, you know, any of their Satyr Wayfinder.
It's probably main deckable, I would say.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's Intimidate.
It's only creature cards, so.
But still, you get to see their hand each time you play So I like that information.
You know, you could try it. It does get through, you know, the Slaughter Specialist humans, which is cute.
Yeah.
I mean, one big upside of Lifebane is it gets both Urion and Lurus.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's, you know what? That's actually a really good point. So pretty much, what deck doesn't run Urion, Lurus, or
green cards?
You know, it may be like blue-black control. Yeah. But, okay, you know, maybe I'll try this out main deck and or a couple more copies in the 75.
Yeah, let us know how that works. No, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say that the only thing that's like that I don't like is the Bloodsoak Champion. It seems really difficult to play early on.
Yeah, you know, it is probably the second best one drop. So Pelt Collector is obviously the best one drop here. But I mean, yeah, so most of the power from this deck, going off of what Standard did, is for Unclaimed Territory, is being able to play. Yeah. You know, play that named Warriors and cast pretty much anything in the deck. And the other thing I do want to say is that the dual lands have felt very good. You know, this is a deck that I don't feel like would have been castable on the previous mana, but being able to run some of these dual colored, you know, both of them are red, so they can all cast Goblin Chain Whirler, and then they can cast pretty much anything else in the deck afterwards. Those have felt good in the list, so I'm very happy with those.
I was going to ask, is there another good one drop other than Bloodsoak Champion you could use?
You know, you could run like Zergo is okay if you wanted to go red. I can take a look at the one drop Warriors again, but nothing that really stood out to me.
Okay.
You know, there's Gutter Bones, which is what was played in the standard version. I feel like Bloodsoak Champion is a little bit better than Gutter Bones.
I think you could just not play a warrior at one. Like
That's fair.
Play a good one drop, Knight of Ebon, but that's still a black one drop, right?
Yeah.
Then we're not really solving the problem.
Yeah, and that would be even harder because you can't unclaim with that. Knight of the Ebon Legion would be cool if I could. I'll think about it. I'll see what else is option at one drop.
Maybe it still works. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's a warrior.
It is. I'm surprised to discover all of these warriors, honestly.
But I don't really see the payoff other than Herald, though. You know,
for being warriors, you know, the fact that it's unclaimed territory. It's the fact that you can run a red, you know, a black, a green one drop into a black two drop into a red, red, red three drop.
Yeah.
Kalidas is a warrior?
Which is? Kalidas. Yeah, Kalidas is also a warrior.
Clothis is not at this point, though, right? Clothis and Toski. Clothis is not.
Yeah, I've got a couple of non-warriors in the sideboard, but
love it. All right.
So,
all right, that's Jund.
Are we back to me now then, right?
Yeah, back to you. What do we got? How are we doing on time too? Are we doing 5 minutes?
Yeah,
we're doing a little longer, but that's fine. These are fun decks.
So I think I'm going to do red, white control next. Again, all my stuff is jank today. All of it's so bad.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is something I built before. I built a couple sets back, I think, and I talked about it when I thought that, you know, maybe I did it during Strixhaven, or maybe I did it during the one before that. Mm-hmm. Basically, I like this deck. I've tested this deck out a lot. It always felt like it was missing something, especially early on in the game. So red-white control has always had some really good planeswalkers and a couple of decent creatures. So the package from before is still kind of the same. I have Redain in here. You know, of course, taps stuff down. Big spells cost more to cast or prevents damage. Totally nerfs Mayhem Devil and, you know, those types of decks that deal damage and try to kill you with the combo. You got Bone Crusher Giant, always good value. We have Archon of Emeria, which really punishes those combo decks or any of those, you know, cantrip decks, you know, like Emmett's, what is it?
The Phoenix
deck. There we go. Yes. So a lot of stuff just randomly nerf stuff. I got Baneslayer just because I had Lyra and it was like, well, this stops Niv-Mizzet and also like any of the other dragons that the people are playing. So I'm like, okay, why not? Glorybringer was always good in this deck when I was testing it out. I also have Mila in here, which kind of gives you some kind of card advantage if you're playing against a heavy control deck that's, you know, kind of targeting and destroying everything. Otherwise, you know, the flip side's pretty good. You know, you can grab more cards that way. We get Gideon of the Trials, Chandra Torch of Defiance. I have some Nahiri in here to be able to grab some of those, you know, powerful creatures to stop, you know, whatever we need. And Chandra Awakened Inferno. So these are all the same from before. What we got that was really nice in the new Midnight Hunt set was a lot of good spells. And this is what was missing in the past. So I have Cathartic Pyre in here. I was always missing card advantage. This is kind of card advantage. I can get rid of some of my lands or you know, cards that I really, you know, don't need, and depending on the matchup. And I can discard those and grab more cards, which is nice. I can deal damage to a creature, damage to a planeswalker. Whatever the situation, it's not dead. Fateful Absence is another one. Destroy target creature, planeswalker. Pretty much every deck is going to be playing a creature, planeswalker. This is instant speed. It needed something like that. It needed speed. It needed a way to kill something unconditionally. And then I have like Doomscar in there from before. Sweltering Suns, just because I like the cycling. And I want to have be able to, oh, sorry, I want a way to be able to kill stuff early on. And any other new stuff? In the sideboard, I have Curse of Silence, just as a way to not punish myself so much against like any of those combo decks, or, you know, even I could say even control, because you get to draw a card whenever they play, you know, one of their favorite cards. I also wanted to try out Curse of Shaken Faith, which is the 2-mana red curse. Yeah, Curse of Silence, by the way, is 1 mana, and you name a card, and that costs two more mana to cast by your opponent, and then you can sack it to draw a card if they cast it. But yeah, Curse of Shaken Faith is a 2-mana red enchantment, and whenever an enchanted player casts a spell other than the first spell they cast each turn, or copies a spell, Curse of Shaken Faith deals 2 damage. Just punishes those combo decks, you know, like, what do you call?
Lotus Field.
Yeah, Lotus Field, but also even like those Phoenix. Heavy cantrip decks as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to care about, how could I say, you know, getting rid of their yard, because usually they can play around that. I want them just to be punished for playing spells at all.
This isn't a deck that could run like Eidolon.
Yeah, I think this I think would be fine against control as well. You know, punish them for playing anything more than a card a turn. But yeah, that's the deck. I think it's a decent. It's probably still too fair, but I like the cards. I like, you know, the how could I say, the new spells. That's what I was happiest to brew with.
Mm.
You want to start off, Amit?
Yeah, sure. I was just thinking that like this deck has so many annoying planeswalkers and creatures. There's bound to be, you know, you need to figure out the metagame for each tournament if you want to make this like competitive. But I mean, as you said, some decks can't beat Archon. Some decks can't beat Redain. Banesteer is really good, just blocking Korvold and Niv's to tomorrow. Yep. And just the Planeswalker package is great. I mean, Nahiri is definitely underplayed. So I love the shell. What I'm missing a bit is Sacred Fire, which is like mini Lightning Helix with Flashback, which seems really strong to me. Yeah. It might be better in like a deck. You're looking for like stronger removal spells because you don't run that many. And it might be better for like a Jeskai deck where you have more card draw. And this is more like, I need to kill two things and then slam walkers. Still could see play. I love the curses in the sideboard, especially the Shaken Faith. I think it's great.
Yeah, I do think, so I'll start off by saying, you know, red-white control is probably one of my favorite archetypes. I do think that this feels like fair in the bad way that I was saying, is that it does seem like a lot of fair cards. I think the curve is probably what's slow
here. There's, I can, you know, it looks never like find
pretty much everything starting out at three.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, two mana spells, I have the removal basically, but it's so hard to find good one drops.
Yeah, I was surprised that you said Cathartic Pyre is something you really like, because, you know, it is card disadvantage, actually. You know, even though you're drawing cards, you're discarding that many cards. So if you discard two and you played this, then you're down a card overall. So, yeah, I agree that I do like the idea of looking at the Sacred Fire. I also think if you're looking at new cards, you know, Light Up the Night seems like perfect fit for this kind of deck.
Which one's that?
I like that one a lot. So that one, it's the new kind of Fireball variant. It's one red and an X. It does X plus one to a creature or planeswalker, or X to a player. Mm-hmm. And you can flash it back by paying three red and removing loyalty counters from planeswalkers you control. So you could just, you know, that can be your turn one to kill the elf or whatever. It can be your flexible removal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the fact that you can flash it back means you can get, you know, when you need to get the card advantage in this deck, that could do it. Or it can be like, hey, I'm going to pull 10 counters off of Chandra, Awakened Inferno, and just kill them.
I want to say that I could build this in a way that takes advantage of Cathartic Pyre, like playing some of those escape effects. You know, like the Elspeth, the white, or the
Elspeth.
Elspeth is a really good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Also, you could try and play, like, Thraben Inspector is the best one drop in white ever, right?
True.
And also, Knight of the White Orchid is definitely something you can look into in this deck.
Either Knight of the White Orchid or Loyal Warhound. One of the. Mm-hmm. There's Loyal Warhound, but I was going to say there's also the, you know, the Saga that grabs you a Plains, or there's the new guy that kind of does the same thing.
Yeah.
There's like a 0/4 from this set that's kind of interesting.
It's actually a 1/1.
Find him.
Yeah, I always consider. Oh, is it a 1/1? Always consider the Knight.
And Birth of Miletus, is what you mean in the Saga.
Yeah, Birth of Miletus is one of the best. It's basic, a 1/1 for though. 2, but it can. It can transform into a 3/3 if you've got Coven. I guess that's not very easy in this deck. So Birth and Lead is probably better.
By the way, I would definitely try and fit in Elspeth Conqueror's Death somewhere in this deck. It's
It in the sideboard, but I always felt it was too slow. I mean, what do you play it against other than, I don't know, Yorion?
I mean, people just playing big stuff. I don't know if people actually do this in Pioneer right now, though. It's just such a strong card. Whenever you resolve it, it's like...
Because I have Redain. Redain is basically the same thing. They can't play big spells, right?
No, that's not what you play. The power of ECD is you get to exile something and just reanimate something back. And reanimating for free means you can protect it on the same turn. It plays out really well. I like it.
And I guess that would work better with Cathartic Pyre if I had to discard something away and then bring it back.
Or just any of your planeswalkers will die, and then you bring them back. True. It's always very good. Yeah. And you got Nahiri as well.
I like the idea of Elspeth too. Yeah. Red, white. I mean, again, if you find a right configuration for a weekend, I think you can just beat people. Yeah.
And more two drops. That's the big thing. Or two and one drops.
Yeah. Although you do have Bone Crusher Giant too as like a two drop. Bone Crusher Giant just pulls a lot of heavyweight.
I do think I want to do more brewing with control. Like, you know, none of us other than this did a lot of control brewing. But, yeah. Like, I think, you know, Blue Black got Consider. They got a new land. Mm-hmm. They got the new removal spell. You know, Blue White got a new removal. They got that that draw spell. They got that timely reinforcements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Jeskai got that new, the Sacred Flame we were just talking about.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of control options right now that could be really good.
Yeah.
And if we're talking about Jeskai, can I offer you some Jeskai Phoenix?
I think that's the perfect time to go into Jeskai Phoenix. What a amazing transition.
I had to take it. I had to. So the thing is, I have the list here. It's really close to my normal list, except, you know, I'm playing 4 Faithful Mending, which is blue-white instant. Gain 2 life, draw 2, discard 2 with flashback of blue, white, 1. And you're playing with these over Charter Course. And I didn't really change anything around in the deck that much. Like, the main deck is mostly the same. Whereas I think you can probably look at the threat base a bit more. Like, Thing in the Ice and Kraken Drake might not be the best bit to be doing once you're splashing white. Also, I'm missing some removal spells. I think Fateful Absence is probably something this deck wants to play.
So, ooh, okay, yeah.
Because you are...
It's hard for an opponent to make up the tempo against this.
What's
kind of
deck. What's Fateful Absence again?
It's
That's the one in the white removal.
Oh, the white one. Okay, the new one.
Yeah. Which is really good. But I'm also excited, like, once you're flashing white in Phoenix... First of all, I'm not sure the mana base works. Mine is probably all over the place, but it's a start. Hmm. And I am playing Sacred Fires in the sideboard. Burn is actually a pretty difficult matchup for Phoenix. So getting Faithful Mending and Sacred Fires life gain just improves you just on the spot, which is super nice. And you get to play Werther, Dovin's Veto, and Teferi. Now in the sideboard.
All of those seem incredible.
Wow. Yeah, they actually do. I was excited. Like, Teferi is a great one because you've been playing Ral and Chandra before, and Teferi is just like what these planeswalkers want to do when they grow up. And Dovin's Veto is just sick. Just being able to say no, especially in a deck like this that tends to apply the pressure, really good. So I'm sure there's like a lot of cards you can find and add to this deck. And now that you get white, you could even go the Mantis Rider route, but... yeah, I just...
that's talking my language.
I just don't really think that's good enough, but... I like the idea of the white splash, and I'm gonna try it even though I'm not a believer in this mana base at all.
What about Jeskai Charm?
I mean, what are you really doing with it?
4 damage.
I don't know. Yeah, 4 damage, tops a creature, or I think it's +1/+1 lifelink.
Yeah.
Yeah, tall creatures or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is randomly relevant, I think. If anything, you can take a look at Azorius Charm.
Ooh, yeah, that's a true one. That one's also really good.
Yeah. Just have 70 cantrips in your deck and play it.
Beautiful. Yeah. And so the main thing you're talking about here is Consider being added to the deck.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, you know, huge. So what did that really replace?
Consider basically lets you replace, like, give up on... The power of Jeskai here is you get to get rid of both Strategic Planning and Charter Course, which are just super clunky, right? And you get to play 4 Consider, 4 Opt, just be super streamlined, have your big cantrips be, like, Iteration and Cruise, which are both amazing. I have played Blue-Red Phoenix with Consider, and it is amazing. So getting to play that is really cool. Faithful Mending being like milled by Consider is also pretty sick. And you just get to be much closer to like the modern version of the deck, which used to play like Faithless Looting and Serum Visions or something. And that's really, really good. Yeah. And also Fading Hope is a card I would like to positively mention.
What is that?
That card is...
Mm.
It's unsummon, but if you bounce a creature with CMC 3 or less, you get to scry 1.
Okay.
So, just really good in Pioneer. Everyone's playing lower curves. You know, getting to bounce... Even bouncing like a Korvold is really good just to make way. Your creatures, and getting to scry against the aggro decks kind of makes up for the card disadvantage.
So,
any consideration to Delver in this kind of list? I think that I've heard you say it before, but like just on air, what's your opinion on Delver in Phoenix specifically? Because you are a Phoenix expert.
I mean, honestly, if Delver can fit anywhere, it might be in Phoenix. The problem with Delver is it's just not fast enough, and your interaction is not good enough to keep up with the opponents mostly. Delver plus Phoenix might do it, but I think you need to go. First of all, you can't play with Faithful Mending. Like, there's no way the mana base can support all of that.
Yeah, that's tough.
And you probably have to.
But if you replace, like, Thing of the Ice, you know, if you replace Thing of the Ice, you'd be at, like, 29 creatures in this kind of list. Or 29, 29 things that flip it. Mm. Sorceries and instants.
Like, if I tried to play Delver in this, I would cut the Things in the Ice and the Kraken Drakes and just go all in on, like, as many one drops as I can. Just, like, mana. Instants and sorceries.
Play with fire or something.
Yeah, like play with fire. Definitely play with fire to go for the face. Full on Lightning Axe. Just try and get like Delver into turn 3 Phoenix and kill them.
Cool. Did you consider that new dragon? You know, when you play a certain number of spells, it flips, and then it does like what, 4 damage or something?
Oh, Smoldering Egg.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that card, I thought that card was bad, but then I saw it played in Standard, and it was really, really good. I think the curve for this deck is a bit low.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that if you go the dragon's route,
it's 2 mana, right?
It's 2 mana, yeah. And then you need to play like 7. You need to play instant and sorceries of like up to 7 CMC. And when it gets like the 7th counter, it flips into a 4/4 that just shocks when you play an instant or sorcery.
Is it 7? I thought it was like 4 or 5.
No, it's 7. But that's not very difficult, actually. Like, you play it into iteration removal spell, that's already 3. And then you play a Dig Through Time, Memory Deluge, something like this, and it just flips.
Yeah.
Faithless Mending. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking you were talking about the 4-drop dragon that draws cards and
discard whatever.
But okay. This seems cool. I'm excited that this is doable. Mm-hmm. I wanted to leave Brewing with Phoenix to you, and this looks pretty cool.
Alright. Your turn next.
Oh, that sideboard is mostly why I'm so excited. All right, let me go with something that's, you know, maybe more straightforward, but I thought that this was a cool list, is Mono Blue Spirits.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Blue White Spirits has been a big thing. Mono Blue Spirits has been kind of floating around, but, you know, going Mono Blue, you lose your Lords, you lose the Spell Queller.
You can say it. Mono Blue has been a meme.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a meme. I think that it could be legit now. You know, the fact that we got a Mono Blue Lord, the fact that we got a really powerful 2-drop, that basically fills the gaps the deck had. And then this deck has better 1-drops than the blue-white version, as well as just some cool ways to be able to, you know, play your creatures, play Curious Obsession, and protect them really, really well. There's just so many ways to, you know, you've got 4 Rattle Chains, 4 Spectral Adversary, you've got Lofty Denial, all of these things protect your creature, so you just load up a spirit and you're going to just swing in the air. And the fact that you can now play a Lord really helps you win these races. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's some powerful things this deck can do now that it didn't really have an option to before, enough that I'm really looking at spirits being very scary. Spectral Adversary has just impressed me so much. I feel like it's a card that people maybe haven't gotten enough chance to test, and as they start to, we'll probably be higher on it because it does a lot of things. Really, that, you know, it enters and you phase out an artifact, creature, enchantment for each time you've paid the cost. You know, the first one is obvious, is that you're going to protect your own creature with it, but then you start seeing opportunities where you can be like, oh, I fade out one of your attackers, or I fade out one of your blockers in a double block, or, you know, you fade out something during their turn. I've multiple times been like, oh, they're attacking with a Ornithopter with an Insult on it. You fade out the Insult and block it and kill them. you know, a lot of different enchantments in the format that you can fade out. So it does a lot of things. Every time I play the card, I feel like there's a new opportunity to do something different with it just because it's so flexible. As well as, you know, a 2/1 Flash Flying Spirit that gets plenty aggressive in this kind of deck. I have no problem playing this on its front side with Lords and Curious Obsession and everything.
I like that this is a budget deck. I mean, this is basically, I talked about this, I think, when we were doing like our $50 budget and $100 budget things, and I got this down to like 50, I think. And really, it's perfect for people that want to get into the format but don't want to spend all the money like on the coilers and all the land base, but still have a deck that they can build into. So I'm really liking the new cards, you know, like Spectral Adversary and Patrician Geist in here. I think that, you know, there's the 2 and 3 drop spot in the white-blue version is getting so kind of, how could I say, congested right now, that you really would have to start dropping stuff from that other deck in order to put these in there. But they feel right at home in this build.
Yeah, as far as budget, you know, this is saying it's like a $100 deck, yeah. But it's saying 20 of that is Snowcutter Islands. I think those are not, you can find those for less than $1 a piece for sure.
I'll just say that I hate it because it looks good. That's all I have to
say. That's fair.
I mean, it's better than the other traditional mono blue deck that we had before with like the Dijin. Because you're still getting all...
Oh, man, miss that.
I like it, I mean. But, I mean, I feel like, you know, we had Siren Storm Tamer and all that other stuff in there. But I feel like this just the... what do you call?
You start your curve a lot lower, I think, is what's nice.
But that also in, like, the tribal, like, the benefit of playing all these, you know, similar cards, you know, has more payoff. Like Mausoleum Wonder and Rattle Chains, everything gets flashed.
Eight ways to stop. Yeah, exactly. So the redundancy of Rattle Chains plus Spectral Adversary protecting your guys with Supreme Phantom plus Patrician Geist being lords, and then you've got 11 one drops. Yeah, it feels really good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this deck was really missing a lord.
All right, so yeah, that one's not too complicated. I think that was me just being like, hey, Patrician Geist and Spectral Adversary make the cut. I think these cards are worthy of Pioneer play, so this could be a list.
Yeah.
Right. So I'll go last. I mean, so I'll go first. Next, okay. Then?
No, yeah, go ahead. Go right
my
ahead.
My last one, I should say. With your last deck? So the last deck I made was Zombies. I wanted to try to build 3 zombie decks, have each of us do one, but I guess, you know, that those plans fell through. So there's like 4 different ways to build zombies. I think somebody was saying you should build black green with Collected Company. Another person said, you know, try the white black combo deck, you know, with the Wayward Servants and Corpse Knight and stuff like that. But there's also just the basic aggro deck, and that's how I kind of went with this. Champion of the Perished being our new big. One drop, you know, to add in this. I think before they were playing Diagraph Ghoul, and I just switched that out for Champion just because this is going to get infinitely bigger a lot faster, I think. The rest is pretty stock. Zombie, Crypt Breaker, Dread Wanderer, Death Baron as one of our lords, as well as Lord of the Accursed. We have 2 Diagraph Colossus in here, which makes more zombies whenever you cast a zombie spell, and also Tainted Adversary. Kevin was kind of psyched about that. That's another one of the new zombies. 2/3 Death Touch. Mm-hmm. You pay 3 mana any number of times when you play it in the battlefield, and you get that many counters and create twice as many black zombies. So
with Decayed.
With Decayed. Yeah, but still.
Which is the unfortunate part.
But still.
Yeah.
It's a token, you know. If a token dies, if it attacks, you lose it. But still. And then I had a couple different ways I could have gone with this. I had like 4 Dark Salvation at first, but I'm like, why not just play 4 Liliana Untouched by Death? Because, you know, if we have Champion of the Perish and even Diagraph Colossus, I mean, maybe I want to go up to 4 of those or 3 of those at least. You know, I have the Shambling Ghast / Liliana Untouched by Death combo, where is the Shambling Ghast is a 1/1/1 zombie. Sorry, 1 mana, 1... Ugh. 1 mana, 1/1 zombie. When he dies, you can put a -1/-1. Sorry, give a creature -1/-1, or create a treasure token that lets you cast it indefinitely with Liliana if you use her -3, which lets you cast zombie cards from your graveyard. And then you just keep casting, and your Colossus gets bigger and bigger, 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 and then you get all these zombie tokens, or your Champion of the Perish gets bigger, 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 and you get all these counters on it, and then you can attack. I mean,
Well, you need a sack outlet, kind of, is what you're missing there. But
oh, yeah. True.
Yeah. But still, darn, I think Liliana is just. I still think Liliana is just a good card to play in this list.
Yeah.
Just like come into play, drain your opponent for two by plussing, and then rebuild after they wipe the board.
So like, maybe I'll. Yeah, go ahead.
What I really like about your version is you're playing like the Lords. Death Baron and Lord of the Accursed are actually really good because of the extra abilities, and they make Tainted Adversary much better than it would be otherwise, I think. Like, two random tokens to just attack for two is not much, but once you pump them once or twice, they do become much scarier. So I like it. I like it a lot.
I almost want to see Jadar again with the Death Baron, just because making a 3/3 death touch every turn is way scarier, because they can't even really block that. It's just dealing three every turn.
Yeah, that's true.
Jadar, legendary?
Yeah.
Jadar, is
so legendary. I can put like two or three of those, maybe. Yeah, I guess now that I think about it, I forgot that I needed a sack outlet for the Shambling Ghast. I thought it just happened naturally. Mm. No, it doesn't.
But I think that's a downside for the combo, which is why I didn't go for building the combo either when I built my zombies list. I was like, I mean, the combo is nice, but don't I just want to get them dead?
Mm-hmm.
Which seems better when you have Champion of the Perished and Cryptbreaker now. Just play the good cards, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a version of the combo list, but I didn't want to do that for my list today because I had done that as a brew last season when we got Shambling Ghast. Although, obviously, Champion of the Perished makes the deck way better if it's a deck.
Yeah. I think, Life Bane might be better in the main here as well.
Maybe. So what I would definitely see, you've got 16 one-drops right now. That is quite a few, even with... you're kind of low on two-drops other than Tainted Adversary. So I wouldn't mind seeing the... what is it called?
Jadar or whatever.
Relentless Dead?
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that. Is that good?
It is.
It's a good card. I think where it's really scary is Relentless Dead plus Shambling Ghast works together very well. Mm-hmm. So, you can... you can block something. You have one mana open block with like Shambling Ghast, Relentless Dead. They both die. Shambling Ghast makes a treasure. You use the treasure to bring Shambling Ghast back into play, and then return Relentless Dead to your hand. And you lost nothing. Yeah. You blocked two creatures.
The other decks were playing Lazatep Reaver, which is the 1/2 zombie beast. I think
that makes a
1/1 zombie warrior, or not warrior, but I forget what it's called.
Army.
There we go.
A mass.
It's a mass one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of bad. Now you have.
I was gonna say it felt basic.
Mm-hmm.
What were you gonna say? Anything else?
I was just gonna say you were talking about zombies, and I do feel like we could almost build the zombies in every color. So you made mono black. There's a new blue lord I think is worth looking at. Yeah. You were talking about the white
red
cards that are good. You're talking about green with cocoa. Yeah, I was gonna say I saw someone talking about a red version too. That I was like, ooh, just because I think they were saying like Dreadhorde Arcanist is a zombie. You could go some kind of red black zombies list.
Color me interested.
Go Luris, claim to fame stuff.
I mean, if we ever got another multicolor land, other than Unclaimed Territory, if we got, Cavern of Souls, sad it wasn't reprinted, but something like
five
that.
Five color zombies.
What is it? Five color zombies, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For being a one color deck, I wouldn't, with no way to go over the top like Luris, I think I might like a little bit more removal.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't the Hero's Downfall creature a zombie as well? Or is that a vampire?
It is.
It's a zombie. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe some of those could work here.
Yeah. I mean, basically what I took is the past decks that had done well on MTGO and I kind of just, added in these new cards and updated that way. But yeah.
Yeah. I think Champion of the Parish is just powerful enough. Probably Drend Wanderer is the one that I would see as the cut at one drop.
Yeah. I think the Diagraph, maybe three or four along with Champion, and then some way to keep on getting recursion is going to be the best move for this. So maybe Relentless Dead is the best card for the deck, in this type of setup.
Diagraph making a zombie on every zombie you cast when you've got Champion of the Parish does get really out of hand. I've seen that.
And it is menaced as well, right? Or it has menace.
Which, the Champion?
The, what do you call the zombie that brings stuff back?
Relentless Dead.
There we go, Relentless Dead.
Relentless Dead,
yeah. Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Still too early for me. But anyways, it's good. It's good.
Yeah. I also mentioned Rotting Regisaur is a zombie.
I was thinking of that. Yeah.
Again, but this is what you said. At what point...
The three drops get so tight. Exactly. Yeah, it's tough. Okay.
Should we take a look at...
Yeah, go ahead. I'm done. You guys...
You're done?
Yeah, you guys can take us out strong. What do you got?
Transition right into my zombie list. which is not very... I mean, it's different, but it also isn't. I am... Mm-hmm. Playing zombies with lures because I like the cat. But the sideboard is all over the place. It's like, it's not even legal. So you can just ignore that.
Wait, what's not? Oh, you're playing some things that you can't play with lures.
Yeah, there's like Regizors, Death Barons, Riders in there that I just like forgot to remove. But generally, I think I was trying to build a zombies list and I figured out I don't want to go for the combo because you have to play some bad cards. And then I said, well, you could play Lurus because you have so many good zombies at like each point of the curve. And this is where I wanted to end up on. You get to play Tainted Adversary, which is obviously less good here because no lords. But still, I think a decent mana sink, especially with Lurus. Chamber of the Perish is obviously very good. Shambling Ghast is just a good card. And in the sideboard, I think Infernal Grasp is actually very important. For this kind of deck, having such a universal removal is really strong. I do have Metallic Mimic in here. I'm not sure that card is playable. But
I don't think Metallic Mimic is playable. I think where I would immediately go with this deck is take out the Metallic Mimics, find some way to splash blue, and put in the new two.
Yeah.
You could. Oh, yeah. I actually like that. I like that a lot.
So that one's a 2/3 for one and a for a blue and a black, and other zombies you control get +1/+0. So it is a 2/3. I feel like that makes it worth the fact that it's not like a +1/+1 lord, it's just a +1/+0. Yeah.
Being a 2/3 in Pioneer is really important because Shock is like the most common one mana removal after a push, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that idea a lot. And then you can play counters in the sideboard. Yeah.
I don't like Aghanim's Awakening in here either, just because what are you getting back? Two cards only?
Yeah. It might not be good enough.
Well, you can sometimes get back Lurus as well.
That's true.
If you're splashing blue, maybe that'll.
I think.
So what about this? That you're playing this Graveyard Marshal. We'll talk about that card because that's one that hasn't seen really much play.
Again, it's this kind of card where I put two copies in. And I'm like, it could be good. I'm not convinced it is.
When I was doing research, it showed up.
Trying
in a to couple
find
decks.
Something for two mana. You're just trying to find any two mana zombie?
Yeah, I mean, once you're playing Lurus, it gets tougher. Like, if Lurus could let me play three CMC, I would just put in a bunch of lords, right? In all of these spots. Just cut Metallic Mimic and Graveyard Marshal and just play six lords or something.
Yeah.
I obviously, we can, so you have to play some chaff. The deck needs to be played more to figure out if you actually want that many creatures so you can trim on them. But I agree, it's like a suspect card.
Would you consider...
Maybe like Mire Triton? Oh, sorry.
What were you going to say, Kevin?
I would say Mire Triton would be the one I might look at. Only other one I might look at.
I think you...
As a 2-drop.
You just don't really get value off of milling, right? I mean, Dread Wanderer, I guess.
Yeah, not really.
That's it.
Yeah, unless you're... I mean, Mire Triton is something that you would play probably in the white-black version because you're playing Rally or, you know, Return of the Ranks anyways.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. You play that with Citrus Supplier. Well, Citrus Supplier is human, though, right?
No, it's zombie. It is a zombie.
Yeah, so you could
go all in on that.
You could do that. But I always feel scared to do that, which is why I didn't do white-black.
I wonder if there's a way... Sorry.
I was going to say, what about white? You know, instead of Graveyard Marshal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, white, the actual card. Yeah, I completely forgot that card existed. It might just be better than this, than the Graveyard Marshal.
It's
a 3/2.
Yeah.
It's still good, I think. I mean, you're not really blocking. The biggest downside is for Crit Breaker, where you can't use it to draw a card on the same turn.
Yeah.
But that's like half the zombies in the deck. So
Yeah.
It is what it is. I was actually thinking about playing like the color white. Because what you just mentioned is, I was talking to Claudio today on stream about the Zombies deck, and he mentioned that there's like, you can play 8 copies of Zombies that are like black and white, and when a zombie enters the battlefield, when a creature enters the battlefield or a zombie, you drain your opponent for 1.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say you have Plague Belcher as well.
Which is but you probably want to keep... Oh, Plague Belcher actually does work, yeah.
Whenever a zombie dies, your opponent loses a life, and you just do that with the combo. So.
Yeah. So what I was thinking is there's like overlap between the Liliana combo and like the Aristocrats combo, or like the Rally combo, whatever. Like, you want to play the same cards. So maybe if you play Black-White, and then you put in some Sac outlets, and then you play Rally the Ranks, and then you play Liliana and Shaman Ghast, and like maybe something could just fit in there, actually.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because the problem with trying to put the combo in like random decks is you have to play some bad cards. Right? So if you're just all in.
All right. Well, Kevin, you have one more, right? You're going
to... Yeah, I got one more. So, okay, I didn't do a Zombies deck, but you know what about Grave Titan? Grave Titan's a zombie, right?
Is that legal?
Yeah.
Well, we don't have Grave Titan, but we've got Tolvar's Huntmaster. So I've got an Abzan list here that, again, you know, maybe a little bit too fair. Like, it's been a long time since I've been able to put a Siege Rhino in a deck and feel like I'm playing an okay deck here. But the card that made me want to build this is I was looking at this Diagraph Rebirth. This is the new reanimation spell, and it's probably the best reanimation spell we have in the format. It's 5 mana, bring any creature from your graveyard back to the battlefield, but it costs less every creature that died this turn. So it can, you know, be 3-4 mana, 2 mana sometimes even. And it also has flashback, so not only is it good, but also, you know, just gets you more value later in the game when you're building stuff. So I was just able to play, for the most part, a pretty fair Abzan list here. You know, I've got Siege Rhino, I've got Skyclave Apparition, a lot of creatures. This is a Yorion list, so, you know, I knew I was already playing things that have good Enter the Battlefields, just figured I'd double up on that. And then the card that I really wanted to bring back is also a new card, is this Tolvar's Huntmaster, the 6 mana 6/6. Makes 2 wolves when it enters the battlefield, and if it's on the backside, that also makes them on attack and is a 7/7 and has a fight trigger. A couple other cards, you know, I ended up just accidentally with a kind of wolf theme. You know, Ranger class was doing really well for me in this list. It, you know, just makes a wolf, and then it, you know, when you're on the beatdown, does great by turning your creatures bigger, and then it's just a it's a monosync late in the game, which the deck really needs, especially with so many creatures. It's fine to blink it with Yorion most of the time. And that kind of came together from there. So, you know, like creatures that are removal, stuff like Skyclave, things that give you value, like Wayfinder. I've got a Nissa in here. I've got some random things like, you know, a 1 of Tulsimir, just to be able to gain a ton of life off wolves. And I actually have one more werewolf that ended up in the deck, which was Graveyard Trespasser, is another new card. This is, you know, in the set review I said it's a very fair card. It's a very good mid-range card. And this is a mid-range deck, so I had to throw it in there. You know, it's just a 3-3 with ward, so they can't kill it without discarding a card. And it exiles stuff from graveyards, gains you life, deals them damage. You know, this thing can beat down pretty hard when you're on an aggressive curve. And, you know, all this stuff just kind of gets together for a pretty fair Abzan list that I actually feel okay with. So I'm playing fair Magic this season, and I feel great about it.
I give you A+ for originality. I like it a lot. This is my type of deck, to be honest. So,
Tastigur. I was almost expecting Tastigur to be a wolf for some reason.
Oh yeah,
the golden fang
sounds like a wolf.
Did you think about the new Briar Breach Tracker? The one that puts
that one's like the 4/3 that gives you a clue. Yeah. And you know what? I thought about it. I haven't been able to test that card, so I keep being like, is that actually that good? Like, I mean, I didn't think that Tireless Tracker would be good enough, and I keep being like, how could that card be better than Tireless Tracker?
I think the only reason is it actually has an ETB effect, right? So for Yorion Reanimator deck, it might be good enough.
Ooh, I do like that. I don't mind that.
It is not a wolf, though.
Yeah. You know, I did try another card on an early version of this. I did try out the new Sigarda. When I had a lot of, you know, I was like, oh, there's so many humans in this deck, but she ended up not being great.
Why is Sorrowth in the sideboard instead of main? It's a wolf.
You know, we just don't want to be killing all of our own stuff. We are a, you know, I want to have my, you know, Trial of Ambition staying around, my Ranger class hang around. I don't want to be blowing all those up.
I mean, but it's in a May effect.
Where Sorrelf is good. Yeah, I suppose so. But in the matchups where Sorrelf is good, he's really good at stuff like, you know, most Lurrus matchups.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I love Abzan Charm. Yeah, like the sideboard utility of it.
You know, being able to play some things like Thought Distortion and a you know and miss Fair Magic, it's great.
ECD for sure.
Yeah.
Also, I would say...
Yeah, ECD with Yorion.
I didn't know this Reanimator card existed up until now. So, this is interesting.
Yeah. I like it. I like it. My type of deck. My type of jank.
Jank's good. Jank is good. Let's see. You get to play Siege Rhino. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. Nothing. I mean, it doesn't feel like the strongest card in the deck, but it is a Siege Rhino. Mm-hmm. And you can blink it, which is always fun. And then reanimate it, and then...
Yeah, like, what I really like about this list is... And I think you could maybe tap into that a bit more, is you get to play stuff like Yasharn, or maybe even, what's it called, Archon of Emeria, or, like, all of these cards that we talked about that, like, some decks can't beat.
Mm-hmm.
You can just play them, and just play them with the reanimator effects, and, like, you kill the Yasharn, sure, I'll get it back. And, like, you had a turned window to do something about it.
Yeah, that has felt good. You know, having the Diagraph, even in the graveyard, it's like, what can they do? Can they really kill my Siege Rhino?
Yeah.
You know, if they do, then they know I've got the way to bring it back and then kill them. Like, what do you do?
Yeah. And I do feel like you want to be a bit aggressive with this, because if you can force trades in combat and then just cast it and recast it, that's a really good tempo play.
I mean, I would say go up to 4 Diagraph Rebirth, and maybe you could drop some of the number of Vraska? The other cards.
Maybe Vraska?
I mean, do you need 4 Siege Rhino? Or, like...
Yeah, I could probably trim on Siege Rhino. I didn't feel bad about putting 4 in a deck, but...
Like, Apparition's fine, but... Yeah, I mean, it's okay, but I mean, like, if you're bringing it back from the graveyard...
Yeah.
If you want targets...
Well, sure, I mean... I'm playing this as a value card and not as a, like, oh, I need to reanimate... I'm not reanimating Emrakul. If my best play is reanimating a 6-drop, but... In a fair list like that, that's good enough.
I also wonder if you have enough enablers. You got Seder Wayfinder here to put stuff into the yard, but I guess, like you said, it's more like a second strategy. So,
yeah, I'm playing it as a good 2-for-1, and not as a hey, I need to get like the bomb out of my graveyard.
True, true.
It's not a combo deck.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
Interesting. All right,
sweet decks.
Yeah, I'm really happy with how all the decks turned out today. How about you guys?
Yeah, I've got more. I'm trying to brew now that I got a little more time after this wedding.
Yeah.
I had a really jank one that I didn't send to you guys.
Well, we have all week to post those out on Twitter, right?
Okay, yeah, I'll be posting those out on Twitter is what I'll do.
I mean, for me, it's like 2 a.m., but all I want to do is go in and brew with the new ideas now.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll just send you one card to let you know. To let you know what I'm talking about.
Oh no, what is this gonna be?
Lord of the Forsaken.
Lord of the Forsaken.
Good luck, Kevin. That's all I can say.
Alright. what do we got else? Why don't we wrap up our show here? So, guys, thank you all for listening. This has been a lot of fun. I always love going through brews. We are the First Pioneers Podcast. You can find us on Twitter, the best place to reach us and to follow all the stuff that we're updating. You know, I should have used your transition. You already mentioned our Twitter. We're going to be posting some more of these brews, and I'll probably be posting a bunch of brews on there. At MTG Pioneer is that Twitter account.
Yes. And we'll have this stuff up on Discord as well. Like, all these decks, I think, have already been pinned in the Pod Live channel, which is, you know, where we put all the stuff that we talk about on our recordings. So that should be linked from our Podbean, as well as on our Twitter profile, I believe. Icarus, do you have any shout-outs? Anything you want to talk about?
Yep, just after taking a slight break from streaming, I'm back. Not streaming 4 times a week like I used to, but mostly weekends, sometimes midweeks, just having fun. You can find me at Icarus MTG, that's EKEROSSMTG, on every platform. Just go find it.
Having fun is the most important thing.
All right, thank you.
Sorry, go ahead.
Absolutely. Nope. I'm just wrapping us up. I'm realizing, hey, it's 6 o'clock. I should be making dinner. Thank you guys so much for listening. This is the First Pioneers podcast. We had a lot of fun here. Thank you for joining us, Ekeros. If you guys enjoy this kind of content, please go ahead and like and follow us so that we can have more people following us. And we can continue to be your go-to source for pioneer information online. First Pioneers podcast, slinging out.